I've always been a bit confused about today's gospel reading. We're in chapter 11 of Matthew's gospel, and John the Baptist, who was in prison at the time, told some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Yet if we look at the gospel accounts of the baptism of Jesus, that happened before this, it appears that John the Baptist knew exactly who Jesus was. Last week we heard John say to the people, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals." And the account of the baptism of Jesus, again, before the thing we heard today, John the Evangelist says, "The next day he," John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, 'Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Chosen One.'" Chosen One is another name for the Messiah. So it seemed at that earlier time that John the Baptist recognized Jesus as truly being the Messiah. So why would he now ask if Jesus was the one to come? John was a fire and brimstone kind of preacher. He belonged to a Jewish sect called the Essenes. They lived a very simple communal life. You recall from last week's gospel, John wore animal skins and he ate locusts and wild honey. Each day the Essenes would repent for their sins before ritual bathing. John condemned the Roman authorities and had contempt for the Pharisees and Sadducees. Remember in last week's reading when he called them a brood of vipers. John was not one to mince words, and it was his open and public criticism of Herod that landed him in prison. You remember, Herod had taken his brother's wife as his own, and John openly criticized Herod for that, and that's why John was now in prison. Herod sent him to prison. When Jesus was praising John in today's gospel, he asked the crowd, "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind?" Jesus was making the point that John was not a reed shaken by the wind. He spoke the truth and was not one to bend or compromise. So with this as background, it might be easier to understand why John might have had questions about who Jesus was. While in prison, he heard about the teachings and the actions of Jesus. John lived a life of severe discipline. He condemned sin and sinners. Jesus ate and drank with sinners. And while the Essenes lived in communities separated from others, Jesus welcomed others, Jews as well as Gentiles. His good news sought to bring healing to those who were at the margins of society. Jesus proclaimed the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. He announced salvation, especially for the least, the last, and the lost. You can understand how John and his followers might have struggled to grasp or accept the good news that Jesus brought. Perhaps John questioned whether someone like Jesus, someone this welcoming, someone this loving, someone this forgiving, could truly be the Messiah. Or perhaps John asked his disciples to pose these questions to Jesus so that John's disciples would become more convinced that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Jesus responded to John's question by telling his disciples, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them." This was a direct reference to the passage of Isaiah that we heard in our first reading today. "Here is your God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer." Jesus knew that John would have been very familiar with that passage from Isaiah, so his message to John was very clear. When Jesus said, "Go and tell John what you hear and see," he was telling him that the kingdom of God was breaking into the world through him. Jesus actually did restore sight to those who were blind, but blindness is also a classic image of sin. The forgiveness that Jesus brought into the world would lead people from the darkness of sin into the light. Jesus healed those who were physically lame, but he also allowed those who were stuck in their sinfulness or ignorance to move toward God. He cured the deaf, but he also opened people's ears to the voice of God. Jesus' message of forgiveness was a way of healing us at all levels, knitting together a world that was alienated from God by sin, but by welcoming us, not by condemning us. I mentioned a moment ago that John's question about who Jesus was after acknowledging him earlier as the chosen one may have arisen because John, who preached repentance for sins and called out sinners, had heard that Jesus was welcoming sinners, even eating with them. I worry that many of us struggle with the same sort of confusion. Who really is Jesus? And what does he think of me? What does he think of you? You often hear Father Paul and Father Joselito, Deacon Wes and me, talk about your relationship with God. We use that term, your relationship with God. If we think it inappropriate that Jesus would welcome sinners, as John or his disciples may have thought, then we probably think that God would have very little to do with any of us. We're all sinners. And I worry that we think that the only way we can gain the love of God is to reach spiritual perfection. If only I can get rid of all of my sins, then God will love me. Not only is that nearly impossible, it's inconsistent with the message of Jesus. Jesus didn't hate sinners. He welcomed them. He loved them. He loves us, even in our sinfulness. And while we should never become complacent about sin, we should never doubt the unconditional love of God. Father James Martin, in his book, The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything, said it this way: even though God is always calling us to constant conversion and growth, and even though we are imperfect and sometimes sinful people, God loves us as we are now. In fact, an understanding of God's unconditional love is probably our strongest motivation to live a life of virtue. Let me repeat that because I think it's really important. An understanding of God's unconditional love for us is probably our strongest motivation to live a life of virtue. You see, we don't strive to live a life of virtue to somehow pay God back for his blessings. That's silly. God doesn't need payback from us. We strive to live a life of virtue because we understand God's boundless blessings for us, blessings that we have not even earned. God calls us into relationship, and like any relationship, there are expectations on both sides. And sometimes there can be a misunderstanding of those expectations. If we listen to the words of Jesus and look at his actions, especially with the lost and the lowly, the blind, the lame, the deaf, God's side of the relationship is clear. God loves us unconditionally and will always welcome us. What I've asked you to consider today is your understanding of that relationship. Do you believe that that God's love for you is conditional? In particular, do you think that God will love you less if you sin? It's important that you ask yourself that question. Does God love me as I am, or will God only love me if I can somehow live a more virtuous life? I hope you find this a challenging question, and I encourage you to spend some time in thought and prayer with this question as we approach the coming of Christmas. I think you may come to realize that, in fact, it is the coming of Jesus into our world that provides the clearest answer to that question.
Let us profess our faith